Good evening, family. Greetings from Pretoria Shofar. Vanner cannot stop talking about you guys when he visits us. So if half of everything is true, you are a superb church. It's really a privilege being here tonight. And I've got a very basic word, but it doesn't mean that it's not important. Actually, on the contrary, it's the basics of the gospel that carry the power. Amen. I've been serving Jesus from 1995, and that's why I say it's the basics that carry the power, because the longer you serve Christ, you get through all the different turns, and you learn a lot of theories and philosophies and scriptures, but the more you just walk with Him, the more you realize the basic stuff, the stuff you learned in the first year, is where the power lies. So tonight we're going to spend some time on that. You are busy with a wonderful series. Vanner has informed me about your series, Answering Life's Toughest Questions. He's very bold. He's a bold pastor, but that's the way it needs to be. You need to dig into the difficult questions and answer them, or try to answer them. I think it's also bold to say that you are going to answer them, but you must try to and look to the Word, because no man can give all the answers, but the Word does. So, last week you discussed questions, or in the series you're going to discuss, why do we live, what is important to us, do you know why God created you, and then tonight, will I make it, will you make it, hey, will we make it? That's what we're going to discuss tonight. So the last few weeks I've been experiencing an attack on my identity. I've been experiencing a draw to the world to conform, not to be so stringent, to be so set in the ways of the gospel. And that's why tonight I feel we need to reflect on who it is that we are and who it is that Christ is in us. If you are new tonight, especially welcome to you. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to talk to you. So if you can just quickly go to the board. Last week you discussed what is the point of life. Life seems useless. Life seemed tiresome, unfulfilling, uncontrollable, insignificant. I think we've all been there. And even though you had the discussion last week, it doesn't mean that you're not going to feel like this again, but at least we know where to turn to in the scriptures. So I think you ended off to say that the point of life is to prepare for eternity, and you do that through giving your life to Christ, becoming like Him, serving like Jesus, and sharing your faith in Jesus. Amen. So just as a introduction, before we go higher, we need to go deeper. Like I said, I've been serving Jesus for some while. Even in Pretoria, I've seen pastors come and go. I've been had the privilege to serve under many pastors. I'm not a pastor myself, just as a disclaimer. It's very nice to say that if you preach. But you can't start running if you don't have a foundation. Are there any civil engineers or structural engineers here tonight? Builders, contractors? None. Okay, one. Thank you. So you will know that you can't build a massive building without knowing the strength of the foundation. And as you go higher, you need to be aware of your foundation. So we're all on different walks of our faith tonight, but just that we reflect on our foundation before we go higher. So why I put that up? It's just a tree in our garden that fell over. And sometimes in nature, a tree grows too fast, grows nice and high, but the root system isn't strong enough. So what happens? Storm comes, it's blown over. Okay? It would be sad to see anyone in this hall being blown over by a storm of life because your foundation isn't strong enough. So tonight, I'm just going to dig in, make sure our roots are strong enough for the year ahead before we go higher, so that we don't end up like that tree. So just an introduction. I don't know if you read the Time magazine, but if you have one at home or in the shops, for many years Tag Heuer used to advertise at the back of Time magazine. And it's very interesting that Tag, it's a bit small, but maybe there on below Uma Thurman you can read, it says, "What are you made of?" And I found it so intriguing. Why would they advertise a watch and then ask you, what are you made of? It's intriguing. It's a loaded question. And if you go to Gauteng, even in your town here, the billboards all aim at our identities. It asks questions regarding who we are. It challenges you, and then it gives you a false sense of security to say that if you wear this product or use this perfume or wear this watch, your identity is going to be strong and you're going to be successful. Okay, and people believe that. I know it sounds funny in church, but out there, people do believe it. So the world is continuously challenging us, and that's what we're going to discuss tonight. What are we made of? Will we make it? Who are we? Who is Hanu? Who is Michal? Will I make it? By the way, who knows the guy in the right-hand corner there? I think you all know Brad Pitt. Who's the guy in the right-hand corner? I mustn't forget. SRK. He's the second wealthiest. His surname is Khan. He's the king of Bollywood. Okay, so if someone had it right, you could get free coffee at the end of the service, but no one got it right, so no free coffee. So just by the way, he's the second wealthiest actor in the world with $600 million. So it's just interesting that there's a whole world out there, especially India, that we don't even know of. It's a pity no one got it right. Hanu, can I ask you who are you? Don't be spiritual. Who are you?
Who am I? I would probably answer in the line of what I do. So I am doing project management and I'm a project manager, yes.
I'll ask you who you are.
Ek is Rudy en ek is 'n miner.
I like it. So usually when you're at a party or braai, someone asks you, hey, who are you? What do you do? You usually go into what we do, yes? But what we do doesn't determine who we are. So tonight we're going to talk a lot about that. Even though it is important, but as we get older, we tend to build our identity on what we do and not who we are. While I say that, I've got a friend in the marketing and industry, and he always talks about self-branding and how important it is to brand yourself. And even though I understand it intellectually or academically, I don't agree with it spiritually, because it's God who brands us. It's God who gives us a culture. We carry Him, and He then builds our brand, if you want to call it like that. Because 1 Peter 5 says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. So I don't have a problem with Facebook, but I do have a problem with, these days when I go on it, I just see a lot of self-promotion. And then I read this, and then God says, no, don't promote yourself, I will promote you. So let that just convict you when you go onto Facebook again. Use it, but use it for the right reasons. Amen? Just a side note. Okay, so before we pray, there are many ships in the kingdom. You get friendship and rulership and kingship, but tonight we're going to talk about the most important ship, and it's sonship. Okay? And before I continue, I want to say that to the ladies, don't feel offended, because the sons of God make up the bride. Okay, so the sons, you are not excluded. All the sons and daughters actually make up the bride. So don't be concerned about the gender differences. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening, and we're just excited to be with you and to look to you and who you are in us. And Lord, what a privilege to spend time in your word. And thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross. And because you died, we can be here tonight. And we can worship you and we can learn about you in our lives. We bless you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. So we're just going to look at three aspects of our identity. It's the legitimacy, the adoption, and inheritance. And in Afrikaans, it's regmatigheid, aanneming, en erfenis. So, who has ever felt that you're not qualified to be part of God's family? I felt like that even recently. Thank you for the hand at the back, Jan. We all go through times like that. We just feel like, I actually don't belong here. I'm just messing up too much. And you feel you're not qualified. And that's why I want to read Galatians 3, verse 1 to 7. This only I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, sons of God. That's a wonderful promise we have this afternoon, and that is that everyone that has accepted Jesus through faith have been adopted. Okay? That have been adopted into the faith and into this family. So let's read the next scripture, Galatians 3 verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, once we've accepted Christ, we are fully fledged children of God. God doesn't have half children or stepchildren. If you're in, you're in. The other day, I just went through a bad patch and I messed up and I told a friend, I feel like I need to get saved again. And just said, no, it's a, once you're in, you're in. You don't need to get saved again. And I just laughed because I uttered those words, but he just said, no, you're in. Because sometimes you feel like, no, you need to work it out again. Yes, we need to work out our salvation, but once we're in this family, we are in. So, I remember when I got saved, the most liberating scripture was that John 8, verse 36. It says that once the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Like I said, we're discussing basic truths tonight. So, especially the older Christians, I want to encourage you just to allow the Word to wash over you and to just renew the stuff you know already. Is there anyone with issues here this afternoon? Yes? Amal. Okay? We all have issues. Okay? We need to be clear about that. We all have issues. And God is not offended by our issues. He's not going to fall off His chair. You are not going to give Him or show Him any sin that He hasn't seen. Okay? So we must settle ourselves in our faith. And I'm going to talk a bit about my testimony, because it took me many years just to relax and to know that I am a son of God. It's a basic truth, but it changes the way you live. So to illustrate that, Estelle, sir, I didn't ask you beforehand. Do you mind standing here with me? So just imagine this afternoon, I'm preaching and we hear a helicopter landing outside, and suddenly there's a messenger running through the door here with a little white envelope. And he says, "Is Estelle Mills here?" And I'm like, yeah, she is. And he hands her this envelope, and we open it. And in it, it says that they made a mistake with her birth. She was swapped. She was birthed in the same hospital as Richard Branson's daughter, right? Sarah Ann Branson, I think. She was swapped, and all this time, she's actually been Richard Branson's daughter. And the guy says, "Listen, sorry, you need to go out and leave your handbag and everything. You need to leave. Your Rolls Royce is waiting for you in England, and your house and everything. We don't care about the life you have here. Everything is sorted." She gets on the helicopter to Joburg on a jet, and she's out of here. Do you think her life is going to change? Yes. Has who she's been all this time changed? No, she's been his son, his daughter, all this time. And as she runs out, some people are going to, in this front row, is going to ask her for loans and some spare cash and stuff. So she's gonna, her whole life is gonna change, but who she's been all the time has not changed. Thanks, Estelle. So why I'm using this example is that the knowledge of who we are changes the way we live. I'm sure she's gonna walk slightly different and talk a little bit different, and you know, so it is gonna elevate her identity or her sense of her identity. But who we are never changes. As soon as we get saved, as soon as we enter this family, we are children of God. But the problem is we have Christians walking around living like slaves, even though they are sons of God. So they come from the world with a slave mentality, and they enter the kingdom with a slave mentality. And that's where my testimony comes in. It took me, so I got saved in standard 5. It took me the whole of high school to realize that I don't need to impress God. He is impressed with me, because when He looks at me, when He looks at you, He sees Jesus. So there's nothing you can do that changes the way He looks at you. But it took me all those years just to realize that I can just drop this performance mentality, because He has performed. He has died on a cross. I can't add anything to that. There's literally nothing I can do to add to what He has already done. So I want to say that just on the next slide, it's the knowledge of whose you are that changes the way you are. It's the knowledge. So tonight we're focusing on our knowledge of who we are and to whom we belong. So it's not because of who you are, but whose you are. You know, I'm privileged to have a few very wealthy friends that come from very wealthy families, and I observe things in that family pertaining to identity. Just being relaxed, even though it's not their money, it's their father's money. They're relaxed in knowing who they are and their future. And you see that with rich kids, and the stats say that rich kids are more successful. It's not because many times they can't access that money. But then they go and they start their own businesses, etc. So what is that? I believe it's just their sense of identity, knowing that, listen, if my father could have done this, I'm going to be able to do this as well. And we get back to the rich kid example, because everyone in this room is already a rich kid, because we have our identity and we have our heritage. So tonight I just want to hit this home. So I want to introduce a very special guest here. You guys are not going to believe me. We have a grandson of Nelson Mandela here tonight. Richard. Do you guys know Richard? No one in church knows, but Richard is actually a grandson of Nelson Mandela. Okay, now that I've said that, has your view of him changed? It has, eh? You're looking at him a bit different. You're like, what? Why didn't anyone tell me this? I can't believe it. Okay, so that was a lie. What is true is that this man is actually a son of the God of the whole universe. The whole universe, that guy that owns it, is his son. He's not Nelson Mandela's grandson. He's a son of the living God. So that should change the way we look at him. So look at the guy next to you, thanks Richard, or the lady next to you, and say, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. I can't believe that I'm sitting next to you. It's amazing. So it's the knowledge of who you are that changes the way you live. Let's read Galatians 4, 6 to 7. God sent forth His Son. Okay, so this is the second aspect. I said we're going to look at three pillars. The second one is adoption. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoptions as sons in Christ. And my wife facilitated adoptions for a while before the kids came, and it was always when she came back and she told the stories, I found myself most of the time just crying, because it's literally someone that was found in a dustbin. Policeman walked past, took the kid out, and 6 months later that kid has a whole different life. And then 20 years later they come back to testify to the adoption agency, and then They end, some of them go to Sweden or somewhere in Europe. They play violin. They can talk all these different languages. And they have a totally different life. That's what Christ does with us. He takes us from the dustbin and He gives us a new life. So we've been adopted. Then the next slide. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we have the privilege of calling the God of the universe Abba, and our spirit does that. So I've said it before, but there's no distinction in the faith. We all have the right because we've been born into this family. So it doesn't matter how late you came into the family or what issues you had. That's part of my testimony. So before I got saved, I never messed around with girls or even smoked till this day or drugs or whatever. And so when I got to university, I was like, yes, but I don't have a testimony. All these other guys stand up and they're like, they tell these hectic stories and then God came in and then they're saved. So I actually got upset with God because I don't have a testimony. And then God showed me one night, He literally gave me a vision where I would have been. And then I realized God saves us, not necessarily from your past, but He also saves you from your future. Have you guys thought about where you would have been tonight without God? What would have happened in your life? What would have been going on in your heart? So God saves us, yes, from our past, but also from our future. So we are all equally legitimate. Is there anyone here that's been saved for 1 month? Around about 3 months. Anu. You're doing well for a new believer. Anyone for 6 months? Yes, yeah, oh, quite. Okay, 1 year? Great. Anyone saved for longer than 10 years? Tonight. Thank you. A few hands. You know what? You and that guy, you have equal standing in the family of God. Sometimes our worldly thinking comes in and we say, like, oh, I've been saved for so many years. So I'm actually a better Christian. But God doesn't see it like that. We're all equal, independent of our history or how long we've been serving Him. So we need to stop thinking like the world. Just to continue with the adoption, next slide. I've talked about this driven or being drawn. So we are either driven through our own actions or we are drawn unto relationship. And that's a father's desire, that fourth bullet, is for relationship. Anyone in the room here with children will know that your heart, you don't want your kid to perform. If you do, you must repent and ask God to renew that. You just want that kid to be with you. You just want to experience Him. And that's how God feels about us. He just wants to experience us. It's His desire for us to be drawn unto relationship. I've said that we must be careful of moving from being slaves in the world to being slaves in the kingdom. We must get rid of that mentality. Titus 1 says that such as have a form of godliness but are without power. That's the way I was, because this performance relationship wanted to keep me in my box, trying to impress God. And I lacked the spirit. I lacked the power. So in Matric, I got spirit-filled and everything changed in terms of having access to the power of God. And if there's anyone tonight that would like to be baptized in the Spirit, we can do that afterwards, because it does change the way you live. It does change the way you look at things. But then the second aspect was, even though after I got spirit-filled, I still struggled with the performance mentality. And that changed when I got baptized. I still remember the next day going into a shop. I walked around and I just realized, but I don't feel I need to impress God anymore. And in a moment, I realized it's gone. So if there's anyone that's not been baptized, that's also a way of getting over performance mentalities, of getting rid of historic spirits that just have a hold on you. So if you want to get baptized, talk to your small group leader, because it really does change the way you live and look at yourself. Then lastly, the third pillar is the inheritance. Romans 8, verse 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, listen to this, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So let's think about this. It's also one of those scriptures, you can just read over it. But that last section, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and joint heirs with Christ. So God goes so far to say that He shares Christ's inheritance with us as mere mortal human beings. We are joint heirs with Christ. So just the next slide. Look at, this is just from the Passion. So this should boggle your mind that God, everyone in this room, He says, I'm going to make you a joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That should do more to your identity than being part of a rich family. That should change the way you talk to people. Change the way you walk into a room. There's no reason for you to have self-doubt, to have a bad self-identity. You have Christ's identity in you. So it's not a matter of being proudful or being full of yourself. You are full of Christ. So sometimes people might interpret that wrongly. They'd say, why is this guy so solid in himself? Or they might use different words. But it's because you know whose you are. Joint heirs with Christ. And then one of the other amazing parts of our inheritance is the forgiveness of sins. Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. So we know that God is omniscient, which means that He knows everything. But He has the ability in Himself to also forget, which is once again mind-boggling. How can a God that knows everything say, I will remember your sin no more? That shows how much He loves us, that He is willing to somehow in Himself cut off that knowledge. So when you come to Him and you say, God, that old thing I did, God's like, I really don't know what you're talking about. We've sorted this out. You are forgiven. You have repented. Which is part of our identity, part of our inheritance. And then lastly, Ephesians 1 verse 14. The Spirit is God's guarantee. It's a deposit that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and He has purchased us to be His own people. So that's why if you haven't been baptized in the Spirit, I really want to encourage you. It is a guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised, and that He has purchased us to be His own people. So you might ask tonight, why is it so important? And I'm just going to illustrate two reasons why our understanding of our identity is extremely important. Matthew 3, Jesus gets baptized, right? So you know that God the Father speaks audibly. He says, this is, or He gets up from the water, get the old dove, the dove scene, and He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately the next chapter, Matthew 4, Jesus is led into the wilderness by Satan. What happens there? Let's read there. Matthew 3 verse 4 verse 3. He's led into the wilderness. Satan tempts him on two occasions. He says, if you are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. Verse 6. If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down. And then when he saw that this is not working, he said, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. So immediately after Jesus' identity is established and confirmed by God the Father, Satan attacks it. So it's also a bit of a warning to everyone of you that when you become aware of your identity in Christ, you appear on the spiritual radar. So you will experience some form of attack or opposition. So I just want to put that out there. As soon as people get this awareness, you do appear on the spiritual radar. So you are a threat to Satan, because someone who knows who he is in Christ is effective and will damage Satan's kingdom. So just to continue with the second illustration of why it's important. Do you know why Jesus was crucified? What was the single reason? It's because he said that I am the Son of God. That's the only thing they could get against him. So that was the key reason for him to be crucified. Matthew 26, verse 63 to 65. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us, if you are Christ, the Son of God. And if you've watched the movie Passion, you will remember the scene. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. You will remember in the movie, he starts screaming and he tears off his clothes and he goes mad. And he says, then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. And that's when he was crucified. And we also know, those of you who know a bit of Jewish culture, is that the son receives his identity from the father, right? On the eighth day, you will know that you take your father's name. So for instance, Simon bar Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. Then also biology will show us that, or genetics, that we take our identity from our fathers, because the father that gives the X or the Y chromosome. So we take our identity from our father. I've put that little warning out in terms of appearing on the radar. And that's the next one, the accuser. Satan, the accuser. Revelations 12 verse 10. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. So that's all Satan can do. With this awareness of our identity in Christ, he will accuse you and accuse you of a lot of old stuff and remind you thereof. But then the easiest thing you do is you just remind him of his future. So you don't talk to Satan, but figuratively speaking, say, okay, but let's talk about you, buddy. Let's talk about your future. And that is Revelation 20. The angel threw him in the bottomless pit, which he then shut and locked, so Satan could not deceive the nations anymore. So as soon as Satan reminds you of your past, just say, you don't need to speak to him, but just affirm yourself and just continue, because that's all he can do, is to accuse you. So tonight, I want you to stand with me. We're just going to declare a few scriptures over us. You can stand with me, please. So, if Satan or the world or friends, unsafe people come and they say, who are you? What are you made of? Are you going to make it? Remind yourself of who Christ is in you and who you are in Christ. Yes? It's the knowledge of whose you are that changes the way you live. So what I want to do is just to read a few scriptures. But before I do, Romans 8 verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. New Living Translation says, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. So even creation is waiting for the revelation of who we are. So once we're done here, I just want to open the ministry floor for anyone that's not met with Jesus. It would really be an amazing privilege to pray with you and introduce you and welcome you into this family. It's the best thing that could happen to your life. If there's anyone that's not been spirit-filled, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. Like I've shared, it's changed my life and many other people's lives in this hall. So just read with me then. Let's declare who we are in Christ tonight. So, we are Abel. We are Abram's offspring. We are accepted. We have access. We are adopted. We are alive. We are set free. What's the next one? We are anointed. We are the apple of His eye. We are justified. We are royalty. We are His workmanship. We are warriors, and we are His worshippers. Lord, we thank You tonight that just in the basic of the word we've shared, that there's so much truth and there's so much power to change the way we live. Tonight, Lord, we accept Your word over us. Jesus, we accept that You have died for us, that we have been adopted into this family. Thank You, Jesus, that the way You look at us, Father, the way You look at us and see Jesus in us is what matters this afternoon. Jesus, we thank You that You died on a cross, and that because You did that, our whole future has been changed. So we accept You tonight, Jesus. We welcome You into our lives. Thank You, Jesus, that when You ascended, You left the Holy Spirit for us, and that tonight we can have access to that inheritance, to that legacy, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the seal of our inheritance. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that everyone that goes out here will be reminded in the week, as opposition comes, if there's anyone that's not going to appear on the spiritual radar, that they will not stand back for the dark forces, but they will push harder. They will live stronger in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.